We would like to greet everybody this wonderful, glorious Sunday morning. It's one of those very cold days that we still experience in this part of the world in October. But our hearts are warm and we are happy and we thank the Lord. We've been like in a city that was besieged. In the olden days, when an enemy attacked a city, they besieged the city. They encircled the city and cut the city off from everything and everybody around it. And dear brothers and sisters, in more than one way, we have been besieged as Christians and children of the Lord here. But today is the first Sunday we can have 750 people inside a building to gather together to preach and to worship. And it is wonderful to be together, even though it's a cold day, as I said, and even though many have left to take part in the Stand for Life against abortion not far from
here.
Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord, thank you. Oh, we thank you for your goodness and for this wonderful, glorious Sunday you've given us. Bless this Sunday. Make of it a time of fellowship. Fellowship with you through your Holy Spirit. But fellowship with each other as well. Please speak to us, Lord, and reveal yourself to us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there are three brethren here who were also besieged. They were also besieged, but they were besieged in Germany. And we welcome them as fellow soldiers who stood faithful to the Lord there where they were isolated and kept aside, and was able to come and visit us today. And so Reverend Stephen asked that we especially just give each one of them an opportunity to just greet us here on the Sunday morning.
Baba umfundiswa lapha ekhaya ucelile ukuthi sibaphe ithuba lona lokubona ukuthi bakwazi ukuthi basibingelele.
And that's our brother Hans Hertel, Peter Töpfer and Johannes Hecker.
Kusuthike ibabazalwane baseJalmani la abathathu sebebaliwe ngamagama.
So before we start with the service, would you mind to just come and greet us? And we are so happy to have you in our midst. with us. May the Lord bless your time here.
Please come
through. Zuallererst möchte ich ganz herzlich danken, ganz besonders dem Herrn, dass er uns die Tür geöffnet hat, um heute bei euch zu sein.
Firstly, I would like to thank the Lord with great gratitude for the opportunity that he opened the door that we can be with you here today.
In der heutigen Zeit ist das nicht selbstverständlich, dass man so reisen kann, aber wenn der Herr etwas plant, dann funktioniert das einwandfrei.
Well, in these days it is not just taken for granted that one can come all this way, but if the Lord opens the way, well, then it is just marvelous to experience.
Mein Name, wie ihr gehört habt, ist Peter Töpfer.
As you have heard, my name is Peter Töpfer.
Und in der Zwischenzeit habe ich auch einen Zulu-Namen bekommen.
And in the meantime, I've also received the Zulu name.
Pit Umbumbi.
Peter Umbumbi, the potter.
Peter Umbumbi.
Ich kann es nicht so gut aussprechen wie unser Bruder.
I cannot pronounce it as well as our brother does.
Aber ich weiß, wer gemeint ist.
But I know who is supposed to, who is addressed in this case.
Ich komme aus Deutschland und habe sehr lange Zeit in der Lüneburger Heide gelebt.
I come out of Germany and for a long time I've been living in the Lüneburger Heide up north.
Ganz dicht bei Amlinghausen, wo die Vorfahren der Stegens herkommen.
It was quite close to Amlinghausen, where the Stegens originally came from.
Und jetzt wohne ich in Norddeutschland, ganz im Norden.
And now I am living in North Germany, quite in the north.
Und der Herr hat mir dort eine wunderbare Stätte bereitet.
And the Lord prepared a wonderful place for me.
Manje ngiqhamuka endaweni esenyakatho neJalmani, lapho inkosi ngihlelele indawo eyisimanga.
1984 war ich das erste Mal hier auf der Mission.
I first came here in 1984.
Ngiqala ukufika lana emishini ngonyaka ka 1984.
Und dann viele Jahre hintereinander öfter.
And in consecutive years I often visited the mission.
Ngase ngifika iminyaka eminingana ilandelana ngivakasha la emission kwaSizabalo.
Eins, was ich von Anbeginn hier in der Mission gelernt habe.
And something that I learned right from the very beginning.
Into engayifunda kusukela nje ekuqaleni ngifika la.
An Gottes Segen ist alles gelegen.
It is only through God's blessing that things can be blessed.
Ukuthi kungenxa yesibusiso sikaNkulunkulu kuphela la kukwazi ukuthi izinto zibusiseke.
Und mein Gebet ist es für euch und für mich, Herr, bleibe bei uns.
And my prayer for myself, surely for you all, it is, Lord, abide with us.
Umkhuleko wami ngizikhulela wona, naki nina nonke futhi.
Und vielen herzlichen Dank für alle Liebe, die wir hier bekommen.
And thank you very much for all the love that we experience here.
Möge der Herr euch reichlich dafür segnen.
And may the Lord richly bless you for it.
Siyabonga kakhulu ngothando esilitholayo uma silana, kwangathi uNkulunkulu angibusisa kakhulu ngakho.
Dankeschön.
Thank you.
Sabona. Now I'm Hans Hertle from Berlin. And as Dr. Albi already said, we were besieged. The last time we were here, I and my wife, it was spring, or actually January last year. And then we came back home, all the borders felt like closed. And so coming back here looked like in a far distance. But we are very glad to be back here again. And we only can thank our Lord for opening and paving the way to come here. And thank you for having us, or that we can stay here. It has been a blessed time, what we have been here already. And when I shared our plans to come here like a month ago in our congregation, I heard like a chorus saying, "Oh, we would like to go with you." So we trust the Lord that He will also give the opportunity for other people, for our brethren in Germany, to also come here and experience what we are experiencing now.
And the
brethren from the congregation there are sending warm cordial greetings to all of you. Thank you very much.
Siyabonga. Good morning.
Sanbonani.
I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that I can be here now. My heart is full of joy and thankfulness. And I want to use that opportunity to thank Uncle Erlo and all the co-workers and those who have been faithful all the years. To that revival and to that gospel. And I'm also so thankful that God is helping us also at home. And also, I want to pass on the greetings from my home and from the brethren there. This morning, I went up with my daughter to the new water factory. And I saw the new pack house and the greenhouses. And it touched really my heart. God is at work. And on my heart is that this revival and this work of God will never stop.
Enhlizweni yami ngasho ngathi le mvuselelo nalomsebenzi kaNkuluNkulu ngeke kuze kunqamuke.
And thank you for everything, for all your prayers. I have heard some that say you are praying for us every day or for me, and God is answering those prayers.
Siyabonga kakhulu imkhuleko yenu, ngizwile futhi uthi niyasikhumbula, niyasikhulekela, uNkulunkulu uyayiphendula leyo mthandazo.
So thank you very much that we can be here, and may God bless you.
Siyabonga kakhulu uthi sibe la, uNkulunkulu angathi anganibusise.
Thank you very much, brethren. And then, even though I'm not sure whether they would like to say something, but even if not, we would like to just welcome Uncle Fernie, Tante Christine from France, who's also here. And we trust that they'll have a blessed stay with us as well. Thank you.
Thank you for what was said. It's wonderful that when someone speaks, that we can feel one in it. I'm still very young, but we look up to you, those who have stood, all the people in us that have stood with this work. And we honor them for it. And we want to follow the example. This morning, I'd like to read a few verses in the book of Timothy. These last days, I've been reading both books of Timothy. And it's been a blessing to me. It blessed me. I read it over and over again. I don't know if it will bless you as much as it did me, but if you have time, go and read it. Can read both books. They're short, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. There's so much in it. Bit of everything, different things, different topics. Paul writes to Timothy and he teaches him certain things. He warns him of false teachings in the church. These are church people. Talks about God's mercy. You can go and read it. I've got one verse here that I've underlined. You can read it, 1 Timothy 1, verse
19.
It says, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. I've got it underlined here. I remember a few years back. Now, days are not the same. Some days are easier, some days are difficult. And I remember one day it was difficult. When I opened my Bible, and I read this verse. Cling to your faith. Hold on to it. Sometimes you must hold on to it. It can feel if it's not there.
It
can feel lost. But yeah, it said, cling to your faith. And that time I said, Lord, that's what I will do. And keep your conscience clear. Hold on. But if there's anything between me and the Lord, get it out the way. But you can go and read it. It was very precious. The first book of Timothy, he wrote about 3 years before he was executed, Paul. But the second book, Paul wrote it in prison, waiting to be executed. And he gives the last instructions to Timothy. And he tells him what is important. There's the saying, you speak the truth like a dying man. He knew that's the last time. And so he said, Timothy, these things you must remember. These are my last advices to you. So the verses I would like to read, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12 to 14. It's a well-known text. I think most of us will know it. Allow me to still pray once more. Lord, as we open your word, as we read these verses, please speak to us.
Nkosi, sivule izwi lakho sifunda lamavesi. Siyacela Nkosi ukuba ukhulume nathi.
Please speak to each one. Speak to me. Speak to everyone.
Siyacela Nkosi ukuba ukhulume nayilona lo phakathi kwethu. Khuluma nami, khuluma Nkosi nathi sonke.
And may you reveal your riches to us.
Kwangathi Nkosi ungambula incebo yakho kithi.
May your grace be upon us so that we can understand it. Amen.
Amen.
2 Timothy 1 verse 12. That is why I am suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it. For I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return.
Hold
on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. First point I would like to make, Paul speaks about himself. He says, I know. Me, myself, I know. Doesn't speak about his father or his mother, his brothers, his family.
akakhulumi ngobaba wakhe noma ngomama wakhe noma ngabumndeni wakhe.
Doesn't speak about his church or his Bible study group.
Akakhulumi ngebandla lakhe noma labo bazalwana athandaza nabo.
But he says, I know.
Kodwa uthi mina ngiyazi.
Speaks for himself.
Uzikhulumela yena.
I know, I have made a decision.
Uthi mina ngiyazi ngoba mina ngithatha isinqumo.
It is my decision.
Isinqumo sami.
But I've made it.
Kodwa yimina othathe leso sinqumo.
I'm not dependent on anyone else.
Akekho umuntu engcike kuyena.
I'm not just following a group.
Angilandeli nje abantu.
I'm not just doing what my parents tell me to do.
Angenzi nje ngoba abazali bami bathi angikwenze.
But I have made a decision.
Kodwa uthi mina ngenze isinqumo.
Now everyone can listen, but young people, have you made that decision?
Ngikhuluma nomuntu wonke kodwa uqondisa kakhulu kubasha. Bantu abasha nisenzileni leso sinqumo.
Have you been there where you said, I want to serve the Lord, me, my name, that's what I want to do?
Usuka finyelela yini lapho la wena uzithathela wena isinqumo uthi mina faka igama lakho uthi nawe ngithanda ukwenza.
If the Lord would take everyone around you away and you'll stand alone, will you still say, I will follow the Lord?
Uma uNkulunkulu akasuse bonke abantu abaseduze kwakho usale wedwana, usengasho yini nalapho uthi mina ngizimisele ngokulandela
inkosi. When the Lord takes me and he puts me in a totally different place amongst people I don't know, will I still live the life that I'm living now?
uNkulunkulu engithatha mina engisuse engisendaweni ekude phakathi kwabantu engingabazi, ngisengayiphile yini le mpilo engiyiphilayo.
Will I still stand up and say, I serve the Lord no matter what?
Ngisengama yini ngithi ngiyamkhonza uNkulunkulu, ngizimisele ukumkhonza nakuba kwenzakalani.
Paul says, I am persuaded. This, some translations say persuaded. This one says, I am sure.
UPaul uthi mina ngiyamazi futhi nginesiqinisekiso.
Now when you are persuaded, you don't just make a decision like that.
Uma ngabe umuntu ogqugquzela ukuthi wenze okuthize, awuthathi nje isinqumo esinje.
Persuaded means I've listened to everything, I've read everything, I've reasoned, and I've made a decision.
Ngendlela akubeka ngayo uPaul lana uchaza ukuthi ngilalelile imibono ehlukene, ngizwile, ngabukeza nami ngacabangisisa. Ngase phezu kwalokho engathatha isinqumo.
I thought of all the different possibilities.
Ngicabangile ngabukisisa zonke izinto ezingenzeka.
I've calculated the cost.
Ngibalile ngabuka ukuthi lokhu kungangibizani.
And I've made a decision.
Phezu kwakho konke ngase ngithatha isinqumo.
It's a good thing to do.
Kuyinto enhle ukuba umuntu ayenze.
To calculate the cost.
Ukuba umuntu abalisise kahle indleko.
Because we should know, if we serve the Lord, things will happen as well.
Ngoba simele ukuba sazi ukuthi uma simkhonza uNkulunkulu, kukhona izinto ezizoyenza.
There will be opposition, there will be difficulties.
Kuyoba khona ukumelana, kuyoba khona ubunzima.
These days I was speaking to someone.
Kulezi insuku khona bengikhuluma naye.
And he said, I've experienced that every time I do what I believe the Lord leads me to do, there's some opposition.
Wathi njalo uma ngenza into, ngenza lokho engikholwa ukuthi uNkulunkulu ufuna ngikwenze, kuba nokumelana okuqhamukayo.
Every time he says I do something which I feel the Lord leads me, it's like something else goes wrong.
Uthi njalo uma ngenza lokho engikholwa ukuthi uNkulunkulu ngiholela ukuba ngikwenze, kuba khona okungahambi kahle.
It can be like that. The devil tries to attack, tries to stop, tries to discourage.
Ngaba njalo uSathane uyazama njalo ukuba ahlasele akuqeda amandla.
And so as a Christian I must know it will be there.
Njenga nomKristu ke ngimele ukuba ngazi ukuthi izinto ezinjalo ziyakuba khona.
There will be temptation.
Kuyakuba khona izilingo.
And so I've considered everything.
Akho sengibukile ngacabangisisa konke.
I've taken everything into account.
Ngibuke yonke into engenzeka.
And I've made my decision.
Ngase ngithathe sami isinqumo.
This is what I will do. Else you might be surprised when you get there. But Paul said, I'm persuaded. I've taken everything. I've experienced it. And I've made my decision. And I will not change from that decision. Whether I'm in prison, whether I know I'm going to be executed, whatever stands before me, that has been my decision. I once asked someone, I said, how is it possible that a person can make a stand, make a decision, and after some years, start doubting? Suddenly there's doubt. Suddenly I'm not sure anymore. Suddenly I ask questions. And this person said, never allow a question in your heart. Never allow a question about that what you've decided in your heart. I'll give you an example. I've been there where something in the Lord's work happened and it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. Now I can walk with that question. And that question grows and grows and grows. And at some point, it tips the scale to the other side. Why? Because I walk with this question and it grows. But at the time when I had the question, I went to an older man of God and said, this and this I don't understand. I can bring it to the light and say, this doesn't make sense to me. And I can say, every time that happened, after speaking, after praying, that question can be answered. And I believe every person with a pure motive will get an answer. Not going there with my own idea, made up my mind, this is wrong, this doesn't work, but going to someone with a pure motive, Lord, please explain this to me, or help me to understand, or help me to accept it.
And
I've never been disappointed in that. Don't sit with a question in your heart. Paul says, I am persuaded. Spurgeon talks about the almost persuaded Christian. The one who's almost made a decision. But he's not quite there yet. Maybe he doesn't want to take that final step. It's worse to be almost persuaded. Because there's always this doubt in your mind. Paul says, I am persuaded, and nothing will get me off course. Now, how could Paul make such a bold statement? It says here, for I know the one whom I trust. I know him. There's a relationship between me and him. I know many people, but they don't know me. It's your relationship with Christ. I know him and he knows me. Is it a living relationship? Or is it just a matter of I know him? Paul could say, I know him. And that persuades me even more, because it's a living relationship. It's something where I speak to him and he speaks to me. It's a relationship where I ask him things and he provides. It's a relationship that I can experience. Do you experience it? You must experience it. Otherwise, it's not there.
It
must be something that's alive. I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. I am prepared to give him everything. But firstly, it refers to my soul. I have entrusted my soul to him. But it can also refer to that what I do, that what I have, that what I have in life. My mind, my talents, that what I've got, I give to him and I entrust him with it. Everything is required. If I'm not prepared to give everything, maybe I'll be worse off than giving nothing. And what I have given him, I have entrusted to him. Don't ever take it back. Very often people go with big intentions, but somewhere along the line, they say, let me rather do it this way. Johnny Cash was a well-known American singer, songwriter, musician.
Johnny Cash kwaku umuntu owaziwa udumile eMelika ebhala umculo futhi umculi.
Now there are many different accounts of it. People write different things. But the thread of it is the same. He often found himself with presidents and important people. He was a well-known American singer. From 1932 he was born till
2003.
He was a One stage he sang songs with Elvis Presley, which is also world renowned. He was raised by his parents in a Christian denomination, Christianity. As a child of 12 years old, he was baptized. At that same year, he lost his one brother, and he often spoke about how one day he'll meet his brother in heaven. His early memories were dominated by gospel music. Taught guitar by his mother and a childhood friend, he began playing and writing songs at the age of
12.
Child of 12 years, writing gospel music. When you read the detail, you think he must have had something spiritual. Later, he released an album which he called My Mother's Hymns. Hymn book. He wanted to sing for the Lord. In 1954, he must have then been 22 years old. Cash worked up the courage to visit Sun Records studio, hoping to get a recording contract. He auctioned by singing mostly gospel songs, the gospel songs that he wrote, only to learn from the producer that he no longer recorded gospel music. It was rumored that the producer told Cash, go home and sin, and then come back with a song that I can sell. Cash eventually won over the producer with new songs delivered in his early rockabilly style. Rockabilly style, that was the start of rock music. So he came to the producer with gospel music, and the producer said, this is not going to sell. Bring me worldly music. I wonder what went through his mind. Wonder what he thought. It must have been a crossroad in his life. Do I carry on with that, what I feel in my heart, that what I was brought up with? Or do I take a turn in my life? This talent that God gave me, do I give it to Him? Or do I take it in my own hands? Young people, maybe you stand in front of a decision. Want to study? I want to do things. What is going through your mind? Is it your own mind?
Sorry.
Or is it God's mind? Cash made his first recordings, which were released in late June, and met with great success on the country hit parade. He was successful. He decided took another route, and he was successful. Doesn't mean if you're successful, you've done the right thing. Between 1956 and 1976, he produced 13 number one hits, which means it's top of the songs people listen to. It was successful.
So 1956,
he recorded 96 albums and over 1,500
songs.
But in 1967, he was in trouble. He was deeply addicted to medication, which he was taking several times a day and by the handful. Cash started drinking heavily. He was known for nervousness and erratic behavior, many ignoring the warning signs of his worsening drug addiction. Although he was in many ways spiraling out of control, Cash could still deliver hits due to his creativity. Even though it was short, but he landed short spells, but he landed in jail 7 times. His first wife divorced him because of life of severe drug and alcohol abuse and a life of adultery. When we take back that what God has given us, or that what we've given God, this will be the result. And even now, in terms of the world, it can be blessed. He's a well-known singer. Many will say he's our hero. But spiritually, he's lost. If God's given us something for His purpose, what He created it for, we turn away from that, it will be our curse. Now, this is what he said. I was in and out of jails, hospital, car wrecks. I was a walking vision of death. And that's exactly how I felt, he wrote in his autobiography. He started off well, but he took a turn. Because of his drug use, isolating him from family, friends, colleagues, Cash felt abandoned, lonely, and completely hopeless. So in early October 1967, he decided to take his own life. Now listen what he said in his own words. I never wanted to see another dawn. I had wasted my life. I had drifted far away from God. In every stabilizing force in my life that I ever felt there was, no hope for me.
He
says, my separation from him, that's the Lord, capital letter, was the most ravaging kind of loneliness. The worst loneliness I could imagine.
Now,
He knew I turned from God. As his own words said, I had drifted far away from God. I drifted away. I am persuaded that that which I have given God, He will keep. Now in my Bible here, there's a little footnote. And where it says, and I am sure that I have entrusted to Him, my footnote says, what has been entrusted to me. And if you go and read different translations, there's some translations that puts it like this. That which He has entrusted to me. I've never seen this verse like this. Now forgive me if I use the wrong words. But now it's not a matter of me putting everything in front of the Lord and say, Lord, you do as you see fit. And now I sit back and say, Lord, it's all in your hands. It's up to you. But if you look at this translation, it says, that what He's put in my hands, that what He's given me, what will I do with that? It's a sobering thought that I have a responsibility. There are some things entrusted to me. And the Lord wants to see what I do with it. Yes, He will keep it. But I can turn away from it. When the Lord put Adam and Eve in the garden, He told them, there's the tree. It's open. You can make the decision. But I don't want you to eat from that tree. It was not His will that they eat from the tree. But it's interesting that He also didn't close the tree. He didn't want them to eat from it, close it. And they can't eat from it. But somehow, He laid it in front of them and He said, you make the decision. And so the Lord has given us the ability to make decisions. I can decide what I'm going to do now. But I'll bear the consequences for my decisions. For every decision I take, I'll bear the consequences. Daily, weekly, however many often. What's your decision making like? When you stand in front of a situation, how do you make that decision? Are you conscious of the fact that the Lord's given me this decision to make. And I can make the wrong one as well. It's good to know that. It's good to take care of it. Every minute of the day. So that I don't go against that what the Lord wants. So the Lord's given me a mind, He's given me decision. I'm responsible for that. My body. The Lord's given me a body. He decided when He created my body how He would do it. He decided what I would look like. I didn't decide it. I had no say in it. The Lord decided this is what you will look like. And He decided this is the color you will be. And He decided you will be a male and you will be a female. I didn't choose it. Don't despise that what the Lord has ordained. Don't despise that what God created. It's a slap in His face if I tell Him He's made a mistake. It's a slap in our Creator's face if we say, Lord, this shouldn't have been like this, it should have been like this. He's given you a body and made you responsible for it. Don't despise what He's given us. The Lord gives us responsibilities, other responsibilities. Things that we do, work that we're responsible for. Things that our hands must do. Things that we are busy with every day. No matter where you are, He's given you responsibilities. And before God, we are responsible for it. Until that day that it's revealed. I thought these days, we as Christians, if I can say it like this, we are called to excellence. Why should we do things worse than the world? Why should we not be an example to the world? God's given me a responsibility. He wants to see what I do with it. He wants to see how I look after it, how I handle it, how I care for it. Maybe I work with equipment in God's work that He's given me to work with. I am responsible for it. It doesn't just have to be in God's work. There where I am on my own. God's given me, He's given me money. Am I responsible with it?
nakomunye umsebenzi nezinto uNkulunkulu anginikeze zona unginikeza ngisho imali ngabe ngisebenzisa ngendlela na.
What have you done with that God's put in your that God has put in your hands?
Wenzeni ngalokho uNkulunkulu akubeke ezandleni zakho na?
It's not mine. I've been entrusted with it.
Akukhona kwami kodwa kubekwe kimi.
If someone borrows my car and he brings it back the next day and it's full of dents and bumps, what will I think of him? Will I give him my car again? What are you doing with that God's put in your hands? From the smallest thing to the biggest thing. Maybe that's why he can't give you more. Maybe God's put you in a marriage. He's entrusted you with that marriage. He's put that responsibility on you. What have you done with it? What are you doing with it? How do you handle it? If there's a problem, what do you do? Are we responsible in God's sight? Not in mine, in God's. Can he say that marriage that I've entrusted you with, you've handled it responsibly?
What hell
it will be that day when we stand before him and he says, you were not responsible in that marriage that I gave you.
We've
often heard it. A young man feels he must get married. He hears the Lord's voice clearly. That's his wife. And then often it's the last time
he hears it.
God's given us families. Some of us, he's entrusted with a family. And the family in the Bible, you often read as one of the foundations of the gospel. God instituted the family. Doesn't mean family first, it's God first. But God can work in a family. And our children have been entrusted to us. Especially the small children that we still have. Now someone once told me this, and it always stayed with me. When your child is born, he doesn't know the Lord. He's got no relationship with the Lord. Depending to what age, but 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, he doesn't have a living relationship with God. But he's got a relationship with the parent. With me as a dad or the mother. Or the caretaker, whoever looks after the child. And that person said to me, do you know that you are that child's God? For now, that's the only authority that child knows, is you. If I, as a parent, talk to him and he doesn't do it,
and I accept it, that is how I teach him how to serve God. When my authority is being replaced with God, when he meets God, he will serve him or will be obedient to him the way he is obedient to me.
Uma ngabe seyisukile indima yami yokuthi kube yimina onegunya phezu kwakhe sekuNkulunkulu eseqala kumqondo uNkulunkulu uzomkhonza uNkulunkulu ngale ndlela bengimvumela ngayo mina ukuba angikhonze mina.
Just think of it, he learns from me how he must serve God.
Ayicabangisise le ndaba, ufunda kimina ukuba uNkulunkulu umele ukuthi amkhonze kanjani.
What have I done with the responsibility that God's given me towards my children? No wonder some children don't serve the Lord or serve it in their own way, because that's how you brought them up. You taught them they can backchat you. You taught them you can speak 3 times, 4 times. You taught them that.
Ubafundisile wena phela, uyifundisile ingane zakho ukuthi zingakuphendula uma ukhuluma, uyifundisile futhi ukuthi kumele uze ukhulume kathathu phambi ukuthi zenzini.
And when they're 10 and 12 years old, you expect them to do different?
Uzothi ke mase bekhulile beneminyaka lako 12, ufuna benze okuhlukile.
God has given us a responsibility. Are we faithful in that? I spoke about families. I remember when we grew up, my parents, at least once a day, we had a meal together in the
evening.
It's a good thing. There were no time in the morning. Lunchtime, we were not all there. But whenever possible, at supper time, we were all around the table. And my dad wouldn't start until everyone was
there.
And we would eat. We would talk about everything that happened in the day. And then he would read us the Bible. It's sad nowadays that you hear of families where the children are in and out. They don't even know, that the parents don't know where they are. You hear of it. Just these days I heard about it again.
Mother,
where's your children tonight? I don't know, they're probably somewhere. Heard about a boy who sometimes doesn't even come home at night, he comes back the next morning. It should be different in the house of a Christian that serves the Lord. Because the family is given to us as a responsibility.
Sorry.
These days we were at school sports in Durban. Athletics. And you see very excited parents next to the track. I think they're more excited than the athletes. I think they're more excited about the medal than the athlete. Maybe they run further next to the track than the athlete. I don't know, because they're up and down on the track. Nothing wrong with it. At school, we had a mom that would scream for a boy. She was on the one side of the field and you on the other side, and you would hear her screaming for her boy.
umuzwe memeza emingale kweground kodwa indlela memeza ngayihalalisela ingane yakhe mayigiji.
And he was so embarrassed, he said, "Mom, if you scream like that again, I'm going to stop playing." He was a rugby player.
Pele nengagijimi wedlala irugby, waze wamtshela uma wakhe wathi, "Ma, kungibangela amahloni lokhu uma uphinde umemeza kanje ngizovele ngiyeke ngingabe sadlala."
But as parents, we do everything for that child to perform at maximum.
Kodwa njengabazali senza kusemandleni ukuze ingane yethu siyiqhuquzele ukuba ibe nomfutho kulowo mdlalo owenzayo.
We shout, we scream, we make sure he's got the right food.
Siyamemeza, siyihalalisela, siqinisekise futhi ukuthi ithole umsoco kuyiwona wona.
Are you thirsty? Can I get you some water? What do you need?
Sisondele duze kwa ingane umile udinga amanzi khona ukudla okudingayo.
If you got an injury, can I get you a bandage?
Sisondele duze uthi ngabe ulimele udinga ibandage ngakusiza ngani?
Because we want the best for him.
Ngoba sifuna ukuba lengane iphumelele.
And I was thinking, do we do the same for his spiritual life?
Ngase ngicabanga ukuthi njengabazali ngabe senze kunjalo yini?
Do I have the same eagerness daily to say, "My child, how is it going spiritually? Are you right? Have you got everything you need?" I can see there's something bothering you. I see you limping. Can I get you a bandage? Parents, your children are limping and spiritually you don't give them any bandage or any medicine. You can see he's not where he's supposed to be. You can see in his attitude. What are you doing about it? Sometimes we need to take steps as well. Have you got the same eagerness? Or more? It should be more, not the same. Have you got more eagerness for his spiritual well-being than for anything else? No wonder later they do strangest things and people are surprised. How did we get here? Next time, when your child is in a difficult position or things are not going well with him, don't ask what's happening at work or there or there. Say to him, "My son, spiritually, how's it going?" I'll mention one last point. What the Lord entrusted us with. Verse 14, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to us. We've been entrusted with the Holy Spirit. Does your life please him or does it grieve him? Does your life please the Holy Spirit or does it grieve him? We need to guard it as if our lives depend on it. In my Bible, if I just turn one page back, chapter 6, verse 11. "But you, Timothy, are a man of God. You are a man of God. So run from all these evil things."
Ngithatha iBhayibheli lami ngiya kwisahluko esisahluko sokugcina kwincwadi yandulela lena ivesi leshumi nanye. kepha wena muntu kaNkulunkulu balekela lezo zinto.
It's interesting. You're a man of God, but you still need to run from evil.
Kuyamangaza lokhu ngoba umuntu kaNkulunkulu, indoda kaNkulunkulu, kodwa nayo kuthiwa kumele ibalekele lezi.
He didn't say you'll be strong enough, you won't be affected by it. Don't worry, you're a man of God.
Akasho ukuthi hayi wena uqinile unamandla indoda kaNkulunkulu ngeke uthinteke kulezi.
But because you're a man of God, keep running away from evil.
Uthi kodwa ngenxa yokuthi wena umuntu kaNkulunkulu balekela lezo zinto ezimbi.
How is it possible? You sometimes hear from people in the ministry for years and then they fall for sin.
Kwenzela kanjani uzwe ngumuntu bese emsebenzini wenkosi iminyaka kodwa wele sonweni?
Maybe this is why. Maybe they thought they're strong enough. I don't need to run away from it anymore. Maybe that's why they fell.
Mhlawumbe indaba ikukho lokhu umuntu beyitshela ukuthi unamandla qine ngokwanele ngekawe ingakho ke wela esonweni.
God that which God has entrusted to me.
Qina lokho uNkulunkulu akubekile kimi.
Guard it and take heed.
Kubhekisise, kunakekele futhi uqaphele.
Until that day, well, stand before him.
Kuze kube yilolo suku lapho siyokuma phambi kwakhe.
Until that day where he can say, well done, my faithful child.
Kuze kube yilolo suku lapho eyokwazi ukuthi wenze kahle ncekwe thembekile.
If not, the consequences will be dreadful.
Uma kungenjalo imphumela yalokho kuba imphumela emibi.
Thank you.
We thank the Lord for his word that he's entrusted us. Many of us don't get anywhere spiritually, or we stumble, or we wobble spiritually because that which he's entrusted us last time, we don't do it.
Abanye bethu asindawo ngokomoya sika ndawonye.
And we heard, he trusts us with that thing. He gave you something as a girl. He's given you purity. He's entrusted you with the utmost, so to say, you can have as a young person. Think of it. He trusted you, entrusted you. How do you look after it?
Uyasinika lezi zinto asethembe ngakho njenganentombazane ukunikeza ubumsulwa into ephambili ongakwazi ukuthi uyigcine wenzani ngakho na.
There's so much, it's a deep word. But sorry if I jump around a bit, but you know, Paul said to Timothy, man of God, flee.
Paulo uthi kuTimothy, muntu kaNkulunkulu baleka.
Many people, because of what they've been entrusted to with, haven't been faithful and are suffering.
Abantu abaningi ngenxa yalokho ebekubekiwe kubo bangathembeka khona bayahlupheka.
Paul said, I suffer because of the gospel's sake.
Umpostoli uPaul uthi yena ngiyahlupheka ngenxa yevangeli.
That's an upbuilding suffering. It draws you to closer to God. It motivates you. It gives you courage. That's that suffering God brings across our way as Christians.
Ukuhlupheka kuyaguguzela, kuyakusondeza enkosini. Ukuhlupheka ngenxa yokukholwa ikhona uNkulunkulu akuletha.
And Paul says, I'm not ashamed, but that which I'm suffering for, which I'm experiencing, it even causes me more. It's a stepping stone closer to God to do what he tells me to do.
Umpostoli uPaul uthi anginamahloni. Lokho kuhlupheka lokho ikhona okungisondeza enkosini, okungiguguzela ukuba ngenze lokho engimele ukwenza.
Those things we experience which we think are difficult and hard, those are stepping stones to the other side. Remember that. It's not to break you down, but to build you up. And in a young person, God has trusted you with things to the extreme that when you, the day you get married, that you do it in all purity. That's He's entrusted you. That's what the Bible has taught us. We should be a bride without any blemish. God entrusted you as a mother to respect and honor your father, your husband, and to be as example to your children, to bring them up in the fear of God. That's what He entrusted you. He gave it to you. But the world actually teaches us the opposite. You've got rights. You've got women's rights. You've got children's rights. The only person that hasn't got a right is a man. And the man is actually the most important if you read it in the Bible. Do the opposite of what the world teaches you. Just do the opposite. Don't go along with it, because God has trusted you with something precious. But I'd like to end off with this, which I started about suffering. There are two kinds of suffering. The one suffering is when you experience hardships as a Christian, and maybe even other Christians go against you. But there's a suffering, which is a terrible thing, as we've heard of this Mr. Keshe, that singer. It's when you allow sin in your life. Look at your life. The day when you open that internet and you started looking at pornography, the suffering that brought about that in your life, no wonder you're suffering, no wonder you're depressed, no wonder you have to take medication, because of suffering you experience because of the things that you've committed.
And
you know, if you are honest, if you're really honest, you will forget of what others are doing, of why others are going where there, and that one is doing that, and where is that person. You'll forget of all that if you turn your eyes upon Jesus and know Him as you knew Him in the beginning. Today, that's your topic. What is that person? Why is that person like that? Why did that person go there? And you forget about yourself. Paul says, we've heard it, I speak of myself, I concentrate on my own life, I forget the others, I must see that my relationship with God is right.
Paul says, we ukhuluma ngayo uthi mina ngiyakhohlwa abanye kodwa ngibheka mina uthi ubudlelwane bami noNkulunkulu busesimeni.
And there's also another suffering which I'd like to end with. Years ago, I spoke to a lady. She was over 80 years old. And she said to me, "Sir, you know what? Well, my boy, yeah, she's 18, I'm much younger. She said, my boy, you know, I did something when I was a young girl.
Why say to me na mfana wami kone ngakwenza ngise intombazana.
I had an abortion.
Ngahushula ingane.
She says, my boy, I'm 80 years today. I can't forget what I've done.
Wathi mfana wami namhlanje ngineminyaka ewu 80. Kodwa ngakhohle lokho engakwenza ngisemncane.
She says, you know the suffering I went through.
You
know, when I looked at my watch and the date and I remembered this is the day that child would have been born, you know what suffering I went through, what I experienced? That's why we encourage the Christians, say, we march for life. We want the government to change the rules, the regulations. We are for life because God is life. And maybe God has entrusted you with something precious, a child that was unborn. It was close to your heart. And what did you do? You cut its throat. Not only cut its throat, you tore it to pieces.
And
that suffering draws you closer to hell. Except, like this lady of 8 years that repented, and when a person confesses his sins, God forgives and he forgets.
Loko kuhlupheka kunjalo kukholela esigogweni. Ngaphandle umuzo ofana nalo wesifazane obeneminyaka ewu 8 owaphenduka ngoba uNkulunkulu uma ngabe umuntu evuma izono zakhe uyamthethelela ayikhohle.
Paul says, I suffer because of the gospel's sake. But he was so close to death, and that suffering brought him close to his maker.
Paul uthi ngiyahlupheka ngenxa yevangeli. Loko kuhlupheka lokho kumsondeza kumdali wakhe.
And may in your life, whatever you're suffering, may it bring you closer to God. Even if it's not, there's something wrong.
Okay. All
right. He says he still wants a point. I thank him. Let him. And we thank God for it. And then may you listen to what God has entrusted you.
It'll be a quick point. The concordance says, another reason why Paul could so confidently say it is because he had peace in his heart. Total peace. He did terrible things, but he experienced forgiveness and he had peace. Do you have peace in your heart?
Let's pray. Lord, when you met up with your disciples, after you had been risen, they were filled with fear. Maybe they were troubled. But when you entered that room, not even using a door, you said, peace be with you. Peace should be the cornerstone of our hearts. And Lord Jesus, that's why you died. You died on the cross, knowing sin brings suffering and heartache.
osingakho wasifela esiphambanweni ngoba ubowazi ukuthi isono siletha ubuhlungu nobunzima.
But your overwhelming presence brings peace to a storm.
Kodwa Nkosi ukuba khona bakho obunamandla buletha ukuthula ngisho kunesivunguvungu.
And so we pray, Lord Jesus, bring peace into our lives.
Akho siyakhuleka Nkosi siyacela ukuba ulethe ukuthula empilweni zethu.
Wherever we have wronged, Lord, that we might make it right, and we come to thee knowing and doing that peace which we've heard of will rule our lives.
Nakuba ikuphi Nkosi lapho singahambisanga kahle khona, sazi Nkosi ukuthi ungaletha lokho okuthula ongakwazi ukuthi kubuse impilo zethu.
We thank you for your living word.
Siyakubonga Nkosi
ngezwi. And Lord, help us.
Siyacela usize.
That week which lies ahead, that we will be faithful and upright to that which you've entrusted us even today.
Kuba Nkosi nakuleli viki elingaphambi kwethu kuba sime sithembeke Nkosi sibe qotho kulokho okubekile kithina nakulolu suku lwanamhlanje.
First we ask for your name's sake.
Sicela lo ngenxa yegama lakho.
Amen. Good. The Lord be with you
and
keep you. Thank you.